Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful you chose to be with me on this 15th day of November 2020. We're going to talk about when will good win. I am getting email after email from people who listen to my program, of which I am deeply grateful. I really am. And they want to know when things are going to get back to normal, their lives, how they see their lives, and when good is going to arise, and will good win over, evil and all sorts of things like that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and what that's all about. And I just want to say this. You know, we have run the gamut in this world. We really have. We've had it our way for a long, long time with money, power, prestige, the values of our life. We have lived against the very earthly experience we are in. We have little or no regard for any kind of spirituality, authentic spiritual work, looking at the whole of life, being kind of sobered up, as it were, about the meaning of our life and what it is really all about and how we take care of the earth and how we live within ourselves. So what we are seeing here in the world is human neglect, the emperor of all malice having all of the dictates and the compliments of its presence within us, which is nothing but malice and misunderstanding. We see a lot of things going on in our life that really take away from the meaning of goodness. And that's what everybody wants. But goodness follows mercy, and you need to understand that. The word good, according to the dictionary, to be desired or approved of, having qualities required for a particular role or a particular good thing, a particular favored thing. So there's all sorts of good, and some people think they have good intentions, but what they really have is the intent for themselves to have good, and they want some kind of supernatural power to intervene for them so they can see the things they want come into play, and they think it's about what they deserve and what they haven't done, and they haven't killed anybody, they haven't cheated, but yeah, they have, and yeah, we have, and yet we all lie, and there's all sorts of things that we think of as right, wrong. Our whole idea of morality is a profound mess. So when you start to think about our karma, you start to think about how over hundreds of years we've overpopulated, we've thrown trash in the ocean, we manufacture products that cause cancer, we make ourselves sick, as it were, and blame politicians and all of that, but that put money and the stock market ahead of the mercy that is necessary for the goodness of life. You see all this kind of stuff happening, and you miss the whole kit and caboodle of what life is all about. So I say all this to you as a prelude to what we're going to talk about today, with three wonderful questions that were emailed to me last week, and I hope in some way they help you. First question comes from Tracy. She does not, or he does not, tell me where he or she lives. I'm going to assume it's a she. When will mercy, as you talk about in your radio programs, win? I just am so tired of all the negativity that is going on in the world, Tracy. There was a much longer email, and she goes into the bits and pieces of the things she's read and heard. You know, I have worked really diligently with my students to help them understand that the greatest giving, the greatest gift they give is forgiveness, because it promotes mercy. And I'm going to step out a little bit here in public, something I normally wouldn't do unless I were in a retreat with my students. But you must begin to understand our karma. You and I are here in a merciless world, a world that is full of people who, frankly, my dear, don't give a damn about anything that is merciful. They want punishment, they want self-righteousness, they want self-preservation, and these are the things that are most important. Mercy is a result of compassion. Compassion is a result of seeing the bigger picture of our life, seeing things in a way in which we recognize what is happening in the bigger picture of our life. We only see a very small picture for the most part, our picture, how things affect us, our friends, our family, our income, our whatever. We only see it that way. And hence, we miss. We do not understand the nature of love. We do not understand the nature of kindness. And above all, as I say, this all stems in forgiveness. Now, when I hold another person to what they have done to me, let's say they have been unkind, let's say they have not told the truth, or they haven't been honest about anything, blah, blah, blah. They just go on and on and on with their silliness. And I hold that against them as a prejudice, as even a bias. I make mercy impossible. So to really answer your question is to say this to you. To your worst enemy, the person that has most hurt you, you must forgive them, for they really know not what they do. Now, to get to this place in the course of your lifetime, you're going to find that forgiveness is a way of life. It's the way you live on the inside of yourself. If you do not have a broad perspective of yourself and the meaning of yourself upon the face of your own life, if you do not see the gravitas of yourself in how you live within you, you're going to find, for honesty's sake, that you are subject to a lot of unforgiveness. You are subject to the mercilessness of the emperor of all malice that lives within us all as the state of our genetics, our DNA, our biases, our prejudices, our preferences. You're going to see it all. And people don't want to deal with that because, frankly, they don't have the capacity to change any of it. And it really, it's a sinking ship. You know, in confidence, people will come to me and say, I'd really like to do what you talk about. And I'd really like to practice the offerings you offer. But I don't think I can do it. And I'm embarrassed to say I can't do it. And they will say, even though I know it's for the best of me, I can't do it, so I'm not going to even try. Now, believe it or not, those are the confidential whispers in my ear from students I have had over my 50 years of teaching. And the sad part about all this is they won't even give it a try. It is just not in their pay grade to do it. Their ilk. And what does that say? It just merely says that they're not interested in love. They want peace, world peace, you know, the economy to work, the atmosphere of their world, their ecology. They want that to all work, but deep inside, they aren't going to change anything. They just let their minds run wild and let them just go crazy. I have students who say to me, you know, I can't help it. You know, I just don't get it. I just don't understand. Nothing gels in me. That's because they're so busy inside of themselves being complacent. They haven't got a fire underneath their belly. They just don't get it. They don't get what's at stake. And by the time they realize it, their whole life is over. They've struggled. It's a mess. It's just a mess. So what can I say? What can I do? How can I help you? I can't. You have to see these things for yourself. You ask, when will mercy, as you say in your radio program, happen to people? It just won't happen. You can't pray for it. You have to do it. You have to live differently inside. And that is a whole story all unto itself, which I'm not going to get into on radio. But let me just say this to you. It has to do with not accepting the convention of conventional thinking, conventional morality, and conventional belief. It's about love. It's about putting love ahead of my convention. And if I can't do that, which most people can't and won't, we have the world we have. Now, that all sounds pretty hopeless, I know, because it is. We can't build our life on hope. We have to build our life on the principle of taking care of our minds, which means you don't talk to it, you don't interact with it, you meditate, you find that gap, that pause between your thoughts, that impression that lives within you. You do not react and act from emotionality and get all emotional about things. You just don't do it. You're not going to do all that because that's the whole form of your own personal entertainment. And believe it or not, hatred, malice, anger are a form of entertainment. It is entertaining my ego, my emperor, as it were. I know it sounds overwhelming, and it probably is to the average person. So all I can say is, you either start now and move on with your life living in the flow of forgiveness, or you don't. I would recommend you go and watch my TV series, Passing Through the Fires. It will help you understand. It's on the website at aspire.org. Go take a look at media, go to TV programs, and you will see Passing Through the Fires. One of the most obnoxious TV programs I ever did on the whole idea of changing your life. I say obnoxious because there's so much in it. In doing it, people find it overwhelming, but that's what we have to do. This American way of life we have has brought us to this American way of living that we have. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next question comes from Lisa in Southern California. She says, Greg, after looking, reading, and thinking, what good is good? Lisa. Well, Lisa, I totally understand what you're saying. Personally, in my own life, I don't do good. To me, authentic is more important. What is authentic? Not good. Good can be whatever my genetics and my DNA deem helpful to my survival. And if I want to live in that attitude and have that kind of mental, emotional playground where I just want to believe what I want to believe and think what I want to think and do what I want to do based on the idea of what I'm going to get, then I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss everything that is important and everything that is helpful. So the good that a human being might think of as good, which is based on the convenience of their convention of living totally and completely out of the society and the basic amenities that science and technology offer. And that's kind of sad. The question I have to ask myself is, listen to this, and you have to be honest, Lisa. If you can't do this honestly, you can't do it. What good am I? If you look at it deeply and you can really be sincere, you will see the only good that lives inside me is love, and that pertains to nothing of Gregory Penn. That pertains to something that lives within him. We mix up and confuse ourselves by thinking that the body and its persona is the major way in which we live our life, is the totality of how we live our life. That's the way it is for us. We believe that, in my case, this Gregory that was born and raised in Southern California, who had two very average parents, I would say below average, my parents, and lived in the suburbia of San Diego when he was a kid, and did all the things that kids do, playing and you know, pretending and fantasizing and all that. That's as far as he could go. And you're not going to find good in all of that. What did I do when I was a kid? I was a kid. But as you mature, if you mature, and this is the problem, most people don't mature. They grow up in body, but they don't mature past their emotions and their beliefs. Everything that they are told hurts them is bad. Everything they are told that pleasures them is good. So they live their life based on the pleasure of their emotionality and what they believe emotionally makes them, quote unquote, happy. And if you look at your happiness, you really look at it, Lisa, you will see it has to do with emotions and pleasure. It doesn't have anything to do with the reality of love within. We're not interested in the reality, the authenticity of love. We are interested in what changes and alters our emotions to make us feel pleasure over pain. And that's just the basics. So when you are talking about what good is good, you have to ask yourself, what good is your good, my good? What is my good going to hurt you? Is what I think is good for me, whatever it is that is a part of the ritual of my emotionality, my feelings of feeling right about myself in accord with rationalizing my evil, my gluttonous behavior, my gluttonous emotionality, trying to find some kind of emotional satisfaction. Is that what I call good? Would you call it good to see your enemy, and everybody has them, see your enemy suffer and have plight in their life? Would you ever think of picking up the phone and calling your enemy and saying, I'm sorry for whatever, you know, I've done or what I did do, whatever? Would you ever have that kind of courage? Most people don't and won't. So what can I say to you? What good is good? Well, if my good is tainted with my hate and fear, my hate for maybe what you or someone else did to me, my hate for the whole idea that maybe I'm jealous or prideful or whatever about whatever you are. It goes around and around in an endless circle of pain and sorrow and deep suffering. Don't go there. What can I say to you? What good is our good? Probably nothing. it isn't good because it's based on the whole idea of emotional gratification. And whatever gratifies me typically gets my attention and is the only thing that matters. Human good isn't human good. And for whatever it's worth to you, my good may not be for your good, blah, blah, back and forth. And we have to really understand that human good is very temporary. Very. And in the truest sense of the word, worthless. Think about it. If you can't think about it, if you can't go there, you can't go there. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last question is really interesting. It's from a woman named Harriet, and she says she lives in New York. She says this, can we actually be good? And then she hits, really? Question mark. Harriet, Jesus said there is none good but God. And I understand what he meant. I hope you do. Even Jesus said that he wasn't, quote unquote, good. There is none good but God. He said, why calleth me good? He's right. He was a brilliant man at all different levels. And I have the deepest respect for what he taught and what he was. Can we actually be good? If you were to be authentically good, authentically, you would not take the impulses of your body and make them how you feel about your life. You would have to drop the human heart, is what I'm saying. You would have to let go of the human heart and move into something more profound than the human heart could ever offer to you. You would have to go beyond the idea of wanting something or desiring something to touch your body or your life and make you feel good. Can we be good? In the deepest sense of the word, we are the goodness we seek. But it's not found in the human heart, and it's not found in the human psyche. And that's the problem. Because we think our human heart, based on our emotional biases and prejudices, and our human body based in biology, because we think of all of that as good, all of that as us, we think that maybe that could be turned into some sort of good, and it can't. So here's what I'm saying. No, you can't be good. You are good. And if you're looking to make the human the divine, you're making one of the biggest mistakes a person can make. There are a lot of seemingly well-meaning people in the world, but the truth of the matter is they don't understand the state of their being and how important it is to understand the state of their being and what that actually means to their life. I was giving some clothing to some children recently who are very poor. It's part of our BATMO project. And this lady came up to me. She said, oh, Mr. Greg, you are so good. And I looked at her and I said, no, this isn't about good. This isn't about right. This is about love. And I said, I want you to know you are loved. She could not understand that at all. But you don't know me, she said. And see, and it just gets into a hodgepodge. So I do the best I can and give the gifts I give without the idea of anyone understanding, including this radio program. Please forgive me. Namaste. We'll be back with you next week. I hope you'll join me. I really do. Have a wonderful weekend. Know that you are loved. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.